Fred Film Radio.
Our first guests on this week's episode of the Big Fred Tuesday are directors Evje Blankevoort and Els van Driel, who are joining us today to talk about their latest powerful documentary, Shadow Game. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
So we're going to be talking about your feature documentary, Shadow Game, which is the winner of the Grand Prize of Geneva in the Creative Documentary section at the International Film Festival and Forum on Human Rights in Geneva, Switzerland, this year. So first off, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
To briefly introduce it, before we get into it a bit more, this is a film about underage migrants fleeing war or poverty to basically get to Europe. And we will be talking about it in more detail. This is just a very, very short introduction, as I've said. But first off, also because this is the first time that we speak, that we talk, I'd like to find out more about you. How did you to meet, and where did your collaboration begin, and when did your collaboration begin?
Well, actually, we go way back long ago. We met each other when we were 20, I think, during our student time in Amsterdam. We were both working in a film theater called Criterion, which is a unique place where only students work, and we had a great time there, programming films and making discussions about films. Yeah, that's where our friendship began. So we became friends, and after several professional years as a journalist, we both were involved in issues concerning migrants, migration, asylum policies. So we started working together, and yeah, we made several films together and projects, and yeah, that's how it all began. So we have a common interest and also a common vision on how our films or projects should have impact to our publics.
How much does your background in journalism shape that vision?
I think our background in journalism is like the foundation of what we do. It's about we tell stories that are true. We try to find new ways to tell urgent stories. I think also we try to find different perspectives on the stories. So I think that's, for us, it's really like the basics of journalism in that sense.
And do the origins of your interests in film and the potential of the filmmaking medium coincide with the birth of your activism?
Yeah, I think it goes together. I mean, we tell stories because we think it's urgent and it's important to show to the world that this is happening in our world. So it's a passion, and it's a motivation to do our work as journalists as well. I think for most journalists, it's that motivation. But for us, it goes one step further, that we also want to connect the public to the story and to really give something that they can do also to change the situation if they are upset about it. To call us activists, I don't know. I have a little bit of problem with that, because it's something else for me. But I think film is a very powerful tool to connect people and really connect to emotionally also to the subjects of human rights issues, for instance.
Almost like humanizing human rights.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
So coming to a Shadow Game, just to start off, begin talking about it, what was the main driving point for you to explore this topic, the topic of migration?
Well, for us, I think the last few years, or maybe decades, we've seen a huge deterioration in the way we accept or we help people who seek protection in Europe. Who come here as refugees. We've seen it happening. We made a film before about the EU-Turkey deal, where we went to the island of Lesbos. We talked to the people who, live there, who try to help refugees, so the locals, but we also, talked, of course, to refugees themselves. And we talked to the architect of the deal to understand, what was the idea about it, and what are the consequences, actually. Yesterday it was the anniversary of that deal. It's 5 years ago now. And since then, we've only seen it gotten worse and worse. And human rights in Europe are really being violated on a daily basis. So yeah, that was the starting point, or maybe one of the starting points to continue making films about this issue. And for us, the fact that children, you know, fleeing often war-torn countries in search of protection who come to Europe are left on their own. They're not protected in Europe. Was really shocking to see. The first time we saw that was on Lesbos, but we've seen it all through Europe. And yeah, so that was one of the reasons to make this film, of course.
And just because you mentioned it, and also because I wouldn't want to leave any of the listeners out. And as well as that, it's good to kind of get that information out there as clearly as possible, because raising awareness is definitely important, and I'm sure is part of your filmmaking mission. How would you explain that deal that you mentioned, that you referred to someone who doesn't maybe know that much about it?
Well, it's a complicated deal. The idea behind the deal was that Turkey would take refugees back in order that people would not take the dinghies, you know, the very dangerous journey on sea. In return, Turkey would get a lot of money from the EU. But in many ways, the deal failed. The idea was originally a little bit also to protect people, but also to protect human rights and to have a decent conditions in reception centers and also decent procedures on the Greek islands. But all that failed. So the Greek failed. The EU failed in protecting people and taking people from Turkey, because that was also part of the deal, to get them directly from Turkey on a plane and distribute them amongst the European countries. That they didn't do. And Turkey said in the end, okay, you're not taking the refugees, then we are not taking them back. So they're still coming on dinghies to the Greek islands. So in many ways, it failed, and it deteriorated a lot, because people also because countries also raised their fences because of the 2015 situation. They were scared that a lot of people would come from Greece to their countries. So the border violence increased a lot, and also the situation in Greece is worse than ever before. And they're actually, Greece is now, with the financial support also of European Union, actually pushing back people, putting them on dinghies again on sea and leaving them behind, also children. People are dying at sea now. So it's a very alarming situation. It's happening on our continent. And that's what really, makes us angry and embarrassed as well. And that's also a reason why we really want to have impact with our film, to show that this is the reason why these kids who arrive in Greece are continuing their journey into Europe. They are not able to stay in Greece. There's no future there. There's no system there. It's a failed state. There's no work. There's no housing for refugees. So they have to continue their journey in search of protection in Europe. In Turkey, they can also not stay, because there's no jobs there either, and they are seen as, second-class citizens. For instance, one of our boys had been working in Turkey in a factory with long hours, like 14 hours a day without payment, maltreatment for years, when he was 14 already. So, yeah, he had to continue his journey into Europe to look for a future. He was from Syria, so he couldn't go back, and he couldn't stay in Turkey either. So that's what's happening every day. And yeah, we think it's such an urgent issue. And we're also addressing our own government, like the Netherlands. They're not taking any people from Greece, whereas Greece has said, please help us. We cannot deal with these numbers of people and children as well. So yeah, we're really trying to get this message out. Please do something. We have to show that our morals, we have to show that we are keeping up our human rights. That's what the continent stands for, right? That's what Europe wants to stand for. Then we have to act.
I feel the term game is very important in your film, and I feel it prompts further explanation. How would you explain its meaning in the context of this film and of this story? And when did you first become aware of this concept of game that is widespread among the young people whose lives you document in Shadow Game?
Yeah, so it was quite shocking for us when we heard it for the first time, the game, in reference to the crossing of borders, which is like really, really dangerous. It's, I mean, people die trying it. So we are quite shocked that people, especially kids, use it. We think it comes from the Afghans in the first place, or the Pakistanis, because that's where many of them use it. The Syrians less, and the other kids we met from different countries also used it less at first. But it became commonplace the last 2 years, I think. We started to hear it more and more. And what we think, why they use it, it's a way they can cope with their situation. It's like a coping mechanism. To call it a game, it sort of makes it, yeah, I guess they can deal with the hardships better. And so they use the term for all these different games. And it's like you have the train game, in which they hide underneath trains, or the truck game, when they go inside the back of a truck. The pedestrian games, when you have to walk a lot because there's a lot of walking. And one of the kids who explained it to us really well, Eski from the film Afghani Boy, he did say, like, you know, it is like a game. It's a mission. If you win, if you fail, you lose. You try again. But in the end, you need to win the game. So yeah, it's really a bitter ironic term, I think, but why we used it in the film, we showed it, how these kids see it. It's because, again, it gives them some sort of hope that they can one day make it. You can try and try, and in the end they will make it. And it plays into this sort of universal youthful experience that I think a lot of youngsters will recognize.
When you're working on a project like this and you're meeting these young protagonists of the film whose lives you tell, how do you approach them, and what is their reaction to your idea of telling their story in a documentary?
Well, the research was really interesting. We did just go to the places where we knew they would be. So there are a lot of hubs, refugee hubs, so to speak, where they're stranded or stuck before a border. So we went to these places, and sometimes it was outside or inside a refugee camp, or sometimes it was just inside the woods or in an abandoned building or under a bridge. And we just hang around with the guys and talked and listened to their stories. What was interesting was that some of them had been filming their own journey as well, because they were really amazed and astonished by what they were going through, and all the walking they did and all the dangers they saw. So they had been filming and making videos, and they showed this to us, and then we got this idea, okay, we have to include their material and we can really make this film together then. And that they were enthusiastic about, so that's how it all came about. And we also, after some time researching some days, then we called our cameraman, Tom Peters, to fly in once we had permission to film, of course. And then we started filming with a very small team. So we were only Afia and I, and Suhor Al-Kaisi, who is a refugee herself from Iraq. She's a journalist living in the Netherlands, and she could speak Arabic, of course. And then Tom Peters, the cameraman. So we were only with the four of us, and we started filming.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You mentioned that they film themselves while they're on this quote unquote game. So it's interesting what we see in this documentary, because again, it's something that we don't necessarily think about immediately, but their use of social media within this game is quite interesting. I don't think I've ever seen it explored as much as it is explored in your documentary here.
Yeah, that was really surprising to us as well. I mean, but why were we surprised actually? I mean, they're young kids,
yeah,
and they
exactly,
have their phone,
yeah.
So of course they have social media, and of course they're using it, you know. And that was the nice thing about it. I mean, they use it when they're bored, because there's, besides going on game, which is really adventurous, exhilarating, and very dangerous at the same time. In between those games, so to say, they are stuck in camps often, so sometimes for weeks or months. So they're really bored. So then they use social media just to, you know, go on Insta, see what's happening around the world with their friends, just like, you know, European youngsters would do as well. And at the same time, we saw that they document their journey and also share it sometimes on the social media, especially on TikTok. And we saw it the most with the kids coming from Afghanistan. There's like, there's people who have their whole profile filled with these short clips of them doing the game or, you know, talking about how life is in on the road going to Europe. And I think what we understand from a lot of kids that we talk to, they said to us, you know, we never thought we would have to go through such a journey, that we would have to experience such hardships. So we wanted to document it. We want to document what we went through. And again, at the same time, make it more lighthearted, I guess, more playful, also in a way to deal with it. So sometimes on TikTok, you find these short clips of a kid dancing in the back of a truck, doing the truck game, so to say, with and they put music underneath, and it all looks so much fun. And the same goes for clips where you see youngsters hanging from the back of a train. And they just make fun of it in a way. So it's really shocking. And at the same time, I think, yeah, you know, they're kids, they're youngsters. So of course they make a joke about it in that way.
Of course it's also for their families to show that they're fine, right? They're having fun in Europe. So it's a little bit ironic as well.
Well, you almost never see indeed sad posts online, because that's also what we hear from all of the kids almost, is of course I don't tell my parents, because often they don't have a father anymore, but they don't tell their mothers that they're, you know, in a bad situation because they came to Europe to do something for themselves or for families, and they don't want to have them worry about them. So all their Facebook posts are fun and it's fine, you know. And in reality, they're in really, really bad circumstances. So there's a really big gap between reality and social media reality.
So, guys, how long were you working on this film for?
I think in total, more than 3 years of filming. And of course, before that, we started writing researching and writing the subject. So in total, about 4 years. Going to four and a half now with all the editing.
Yeah. Obviously in different countries and so very, very difficult production, we can say.
Well, it was and it wasn't. I actually really loved making the film because it was a form of journalism that I really love, from a form of documentary making that I really love. Of course, we have an idea of what we wanted to film, the stories we hoped we could find. And we had an idea about how we would like to film it. So everything from the perspective of the kids, be really, really close to them. Don't involve any adults or experts or whatever. So we did have a clear plan. And at the same time, when we would go to a place, we never knew what to expect. We knew where maybe there were people who would be. We didn't know where the kids would be from. If they would be still there the next day, because they could go on game. And so it was just go with the flow completely. It was about, you know, just going there, hanging around with the kids, getting to know them, gaining trust, and then, okay, let's see, let's go. We're going to film you and let's stay in touch. And we stayed in touch with all of these kids, sometimes for 2 or 3 years over WhatsApp and Messenger. And whenever there was something going on that we find, okay, we have to be there now. We have to include this in their story. We would fly out the next day. So it was really sort of, exhilarating to do that as well.
What is it like kind of working in this environment? I'm thinking of the sequences where they're close to the fences or other dangerous situations. How do you react to those? Does it ever get too much? Are you ever scared of what might happen, frightened, concerned?
Well, it was tense, and it was also new for us because we never were at the borders in that sense. You know, we only crossed borders as tourists with our passports, and this was a completely different side of the border that we never had seen. But the most scary moments were actually when the kids were out of off the radar for us. So when we were back home, and they were not online, and we knew that they were going on game and they were in the back of a truck, or they were walking through Croatia, and we know what the Croatian border guards do. They just kick the kids and they throw them in rivers and give them electroshocks, etc. So there's torturing at the border. We knew that they were going through this, and that kept us awake often. And we were so glad that all of our boys finally made it as well. And that there are people dying. Just some weeks ago, there was a group of Pakistani boys that went into a minefield at the Croatian border, and one of them got killed, and several really severely injured. So that could have happened to our boys as well. And we were saying to each other, okay, one day this telephone call will come that one of them has died, and that really scared us. And we saw a lot of suffering as well amongst the refugees that they were, the groups that they were in. I mean, there were also mothers with small children who were completely psychologically panicked, and babies that were almost frozen. And it was the tragic of all these stories, and going in and going back home again. Because you're only part of their stories for several days or a week. That was really hard to combine it with our own lives, actually, in our privileged cities in Europe.
Yeah, and I thank you very much, because we've definitely exceeded the time that we talked about this interview would last. But it's such a fascinating conversation. I'll just maybe ask you a couple of more questions, one or two.
Sure.
One of them is, of course, having worked on a film like this, what do you feel about the future regarding this issue? Are you guys optimistic? Are strides being made forward in dealing with the issue of migration? Or are we still living in the dark ages?
Well, I'm always optimistic. I'm optimistic by heart. But we've met so many people on the road who try to turn the tide, who do something for the refugees. But politically speaking, we're in the dark ages completely. We've just had the Dutch election here. We just had the results yesterday. And again, extreme right parties, populist parties, gained a lot of seats in parliament again. And we see xenophobia, anti-refugee rhetoric, increase by the day. One point I want to make in that context, actually, is that I think also for us as journalists, we have a great responsibility to counter that rhetoric. And one of the things we can do is to stop calling these people migrants and start calling them refugees again. Because when you come from Syria and you flee from the war, you're not a migrant, you're a refugee. And I think it's really important because that's also one of the things we've seen happening, that journalists all over Europe are taking over this anti-refugee rhetoric from the politician. And I think we really have to be careful about that, because words do count. So I'm pessimistic about the political environment in Europe, all over Europe. And at the same time, there's a lot of grassroots organizations that are mobilizing people to counteract against this xenophobia. So I do have hope that we can still make a change before it's really too late.
You talked about journalism, but what about the language of filmmaking?
Yeah, I mean, for me, a film like Shadow Game is also journalism, but using different tools. It's telling a story in a very captivating way, but it still tells, I think, the story of what the consequences of our European asylum system are. So that's, I think, it's part of the journalism, I think. What a film adds to it, a film like Shadow Game, is that you can really take people into the world of these kids, to show what is happening in Europe from their perspective. And maybe that can help them change their views, or maybe at least add a perspective on this whole issue, which is very complex.
Yeah, what is the biggest compliment that we got from the youth jury now in Geneva was that they could really relate to these kids. I mean, they are the same age and they have the same aspiration and same hopes for their lives. And the style of the film, and that was a big compliment for us, was indeed in their own style and in their own feeling of, resilience and hope. And that was a big compliment, because most refugees films that we've seen are about poor refugees, you know, quote unquote. It's like they are victims only, but these are people with talents. They're not coming here to get something from us. Yes, they want protection, but then they want to add something to our societies. They also want to give their talents a chance and to become who they want to be.
Thank you very much for joining us. And again, it's been a fascinating conversation. I remind our listeners, the film is called Shadow Game. So thanks a lot.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.